Good morning. Do you know that Patrick, when he was young, 15, 16 years old, he was taken by Eric as prisoner. And then somehow he escaped and came back to the mainland. But God called him back to be missionary. It was 1987, I wrote the article about this. It was amazing. So, it's a missionary Sunday today. Mission Sunday. So, I would like to share with you about my personal journey. I was born into a Christian family. I heard my grandpa preaching, my father preaching. But I left the church for a few years. I was so upset with the church because I've seen a lot of Christians. They are supposedly to be my like mentor or model, but I found out they are as weak as I am. I was young, I don't understand. I'm looking for perfect, but I didn't find it, and I was very upset. And then after that, you know, I disappeared from church for some years, and God spoke to me saying that, you know, I still believe in God, but I just refuse to go to church. Occasionally I squeeze, you know, sneak into a big church, sitting at the back row, and disappear before the benediction. So no one really know if I exist or not. I feel great because, you know, no one talked to me to stay or... But somehow, I just felt like, as Christian, we are not just satisfied with accepting the Lord as personal Savior and knowing that I'm saved. And that's it. I'm not satisfied with that. I want to be a committed Christian. So I say to God, if I want to come back to the church, I want to be a committed Christian. I don't want to be just saved and coming to church a churchgoer Christian. Then from that time on, you know, I came back to church, and then I asked God to help me. To help me so that I can, when I read the Bible, I can see God's way for me, showing me how to be a committed Christian. Of course, I learned from all kinds of, you know, Bible verses. But this morning, I would like to share with you how in Book of Acts, the working of the Holy Spirit really showed me how to live up a Christian life, a committed Christian life. So, you know, when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit in the Book of Acts, there are a lot of verses. But I just concentrate on three areas. And the three areas really changed my life and changed my way of serving the Lord. The first area is chapter 1 and then chapter 2. In chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all the Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You see, when I read those, I just felt like I need to respond. I need to respond. Because the two things that is come together, one is you receive the power, but the other thing is you need to go the direction that the Holy Spirit is moving. We sing the song about the Holy Spirit is moving across the ocean or across the river. Holy Spirit is moving. I was curious when I was a young Christian. I just thought, if I can know where the Holy Spirit is moving, then I follow Him. Whenever Holy Spirit performs something, there is miracle, then I experience the miracle. And I experience the true, you know, the real God and the God that is so personal. So I was seeking, I was after this kind of dream and idea. So when I read this verse, I say, okay, Lord, I want to see power. But at the same time, the verse told me that I need to start thinking about, you know, the witnesses of Jesus Christ. And it's from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the way to the end of the earth. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is moving the direction. So I say to God, if I want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, the nearness, the presence of the Holy Spirit, I need to walk this way, because otherwise Holy Spirit move on and I stay back and I complain, where is Holy Spirit? I never experience it. Then that's my problem. It's not Holy Spirit's problem. So when I start reading Acts chapter 2 and verse 11, when the apostle preached, an amazing thing happened, because different people from different areas, basically they are Jews, they came back for the festival, and they were hurt. What? Verse 11 said that we hear they declaring the wonders of God in our own language. Wow, in our own tongues. That is so amazing, because one, maybe just Peter or a few others stood up, testimony or say something, you know, and Peter, of course, he preached a message. The basic thing is chapter 1, verse 8, saying that this is the way the Holy Spirit moved. And that immediately when the Holy Spirit came, and then they show us how He moved. So when one person preached, and then 15 different kind of tongues, or people from different areas, they had their own mother tongue or dialect, they heard the preaching in their own language. Then I say to God, if that is the moving, the way the Holy Spirit moves, how should I do as a Christian to just walk with the Holy Spirit? And then, what, you know, just experience Him and ask the Holy Spirit to lead me. And then if I serve Him, ask the Holy Spirit to give me power. And I trust that if I am with the Holy Spirit, walk with the Holy Spirit, I'm not lacking of any power. It's not because I, but because of the Holy Spirit. That is the truth. When I was young, so I tried to learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit. I never speak in tongues, so I never go into that area. But in order to obey, I really walking, you know, I'm really serious about from Jerusalem and all the way to the end of the earth. That's my desire. And I believe that that is where the Holy Spirit is moving. That is salvation. So to me, personally, as a Christian, I am convinced in saying that if I just look, you know, from where I am, that is my family, my town, and then I look further out, that is my country, and then even further out, maybe the nearby countries, or the end of the earth. If I'm willing and be available to the Lord, I trust that the Lord will guide me and lead me, and the Holy Spirit will empower me to do so. So that's why I just commit myself to the Lord and say to God, here I am. And then, Acts chapter 13, this beautiful picture about how the Holy Spirit, you know, speaks to the church of Antioch. Acts chapter 13 verse 2 saying that while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. You see, the Holy Spirit speaks to the church. Why Holy Spirit speaks to the church of Antioch? You just look at the leaders of the Antioch church. Those leaders, some are native, some are from outside, other countries. The leaders are not necessarily just from one people group. Some are black. You know, Saul, after he called Paul, is from now the Turkey, or at that time it's called Minor Asia, you know. They are from everywhere. I'm so amazed because I see the church, you know, the church leaders in the leadership they have people from different places. That means those people were raised by the word of God through different kind of means, and they were accepting the Lord when they were where they were, and they came here, or they came here to where the church of Antioch was, and then people reached out to them. That means people are reaching out cross-culturally, no matter where. And when I look at the picture, I thought the Antioch church got it right, because they know that we need to reach out from Jerusalem, you know, and then to Judea, and then to Samaria, and then to even the end of the earth. That's the church. And because of they are doing what exactly the Holy Spirit wants them to do, they are following the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is not going to stay in one place. He's moving on. And the church decided to be obedient and move on with the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit speaks to them, saying that, I want you to send Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. They hear the word of the Holy Spirit so clearly, and their response is chapter 13, verse 3. So after they have fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Send them off. What a beautiful picture, because I don't know if they have a pastor, but I suppose Barnabas was one of the top leaders there. And so at that time, he might be a bit new, but everybody knows he is very talented. He has, you know, a special gift from God. People know. And the Holy Spirit says, send these two out. And the church get together, and they fast, and they prayed, and they send them out. So this is a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. So this is the second area that I go back to quite often. And then the third area is Acts chapter 16. Those verses, you know, a lot of people you are quite familiar with. Acts chapter 16, from verse 6 to verse 10. Okay, let me just read you part of it. Chapter 16, verse 6. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. You know, that's funny, because Paul and his team, they want to keep going and preach the gospel in the province of Asia. And the Holy Spirit kept them, say, no, not this way, not this direction. It's nothing that they had done wrong, but it's something the Holy Spirit said, I'm moving this direction, come with me. Come with me. It's the guidance. It's not saying that this is wrong, you can't do it, but it's more like, this way, please. And Paul is willing to preach to whoever. So any direction is fine for him. But only Holy Spirit knows, if you follow me, what will happen next. That's why the Holy Spirit, you know, kept him from going the direction that he wants to go. And the Holy Spirit guided him into another direction. And then in Paul's testimony, he said that in verse 7, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. I mean, this is put it this way, saying that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow Paul and, you know, other people that they are working together with to go to that direction. And then, very interesting, the Holy Spirit showed them the way, and the Holy Spirit confirmed that the Holy Spirit's way, showing the way that showed, you know, the Holy Spirit showed them is correct. Because God gave Paul a vision The vision comes from 16 verse 9. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Come and help us. So the Holy Spirit said, no, no, not that way, but this way. Paul may say, why? You know, why going that way? That is outside of Asia. And then he received a vision. The vision said, come over here and help us. And that was from Macedonia. So Holy Spirit's guidance plus the vision that Paul had received and conclude that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That's what the Bible says. So Paul has a conclusion saying that that's how I know that this is, you know, the calling from God, that he wants us to go and preach the gospel to the Macedonian. So brothers and sisters, how I apply those verses, those principles into my life. 1975, it was one of my very, very first experience doing a short-term mission trip cross-culturally. I'm from Malaysia. We had a lot of different people groups in Malaysia. And then we Chinese usually stay in the town or city. But in the inland, in the rural area, there were a lot of different people groups. So one time I went with pastors, with some other young people, and God showed me and speaks to me the first time, 1975. Speaks to me. The question was, what about those people? Because the pastor told us we go to them only once a year. And then when I reached there, those people, language I don't know how to speak, but the pastor can speak, so we use whatever language he translates. But the question came back to me was, what about those people? Those people live, you know, hear the word of God once a year, what about them? I just felt like that's not fair. That's not fair. I mean, in city we go to church. We can choose churches. We don't want this preacher. We go to the other preacher. We prefer this fellowship more than that fellowship. We go to Sunday school class. You know, if I don't like this one, I go to the other one. I mean, we have a lot of choices. And then we complain a lot. In my heart, I just say, God, this is not fair. Those people, they love the Lord. Because when we are supposed to arrive there for dinner, and then after that we have meeting. But because our traveling into the, you know, four and whatever stream, and then a lot of things happen, our machine, the speedboat machine, the outboard machine broke, so we were delayed, and the heavy, you know, rain, tropical rain came on us, and we arrived there, wait, and then just ready to hit the ground and go to sleep anytime. So we arrived there midnight. When we arrived there, the whole long house, 27 house families, everybody sitting there waiting for us. So when we arrived, they say, let's worship God. I mean, they had this kind of opportunity once a year. God brought to me saying that, how about those people? Until today, this same question repeats in my mind frequently. It's very sorry to say that I cannot sit still enjoying just pastoring a church without any guilt feeling. I just feel like that's not fair. A lot of people outside, they never heard about Jesus Christ. And we are enjoying a lot here, or no matter where, even back home in Malaysia. So then I respond to the Lord saying that I know that, you know, the Holy Spirit is moving this direction. God help me. God help me. So when I applied for a Bible seminary, I was asking God to provide a mission-minded Bible seminary. Mission-minded. It wasn't easy to look for one in the 70s in the Chinese Bible seminary. It wasn't easy. The term mission is like you know, something mystery. A lot of churches, I mean, the Bible seminary, they never talk about it. No world mission, cross-cultural mission. You don't receive, you know, training in that area in the Chinese Bible seminary. But anyway, I graduated, so I went back to Malaysia, and I started from zero. Because my mother church wants me to go back as a pastor. I said, okay, with the condition that I want to reach out to those, they are least risked people. And then the denomination saying that if that's the case, you don't come back. So I didn't go back. I was by myself. I rent a small room to start away. I don't have chair, no sleeping bag, nothing. And then after 8 years, we have 6 churches, 3 languages. Then God called me again. What about those people? I say, who? Then God called our family to Africa, in the Sahara Desert. Just a simple, material information about a people group called Manga people, 4.5 million of population. No Bible, no pastor, no church. I mean, I just read through a few sentences. I just said that I need to go there. And a lot of good advice came to us saying that that's not a wise decision. My girl is 4.5 years old. My 2 boys, the youngest and the oldest, in between 4 years, so in between that's one. So you know how old they are. They say this is not a good idea. Bring them to Africa, to the Sahara Desert. How about their education? How about anything? Just we don't have any answer. We don't have any answer. So we just keep following, trusting the Lord. The Holy Spirit is moving that direction. Let us obey and keep going. So, you know, it was tough. For all the 11 and 7 months in Africa, our children stay in boarding school. Now, Ruth, the youngest, until she graduated from high school, we see each other a few times per year. I was so guilt feeling about it because the children can turn around saying that you are bad parents. You never actually just really spend a lot of time with us. Emily and I, we were afraid of that. We don't know how to answer it. But brothers and sisters, you see, apply the word of God, the principle into our Christian life, and just trust Him and obey Him and let go God do the rest. That's how we do it. That's how we want it to just to try to obey God. And then 2003 April, our African church, the Muslim convert church building was up. So I'm so excited because next month I'm going back to celebrate 10 years anniversary with the church. The church that we planned, we built the church building there. And they are so excited also. They already start inviting friends from villages to different towns. And I was told that even some of my very good Muslim friends, they are coming to meet me. But we will have maybe 30 hours then, because it's far away in Norway, and then it's very, very difficult to travel. And David suggests me to fly there. Of course, flying is much quicker. But, you know, it will be very expensive to do that because I need to charter a plane to fly there. There's no commercial plane. But anyway, just saying that this is how God leads, you know, day by day. And then, after spending more than 10 years with the Muslim people, the same question comes back to me all the time. What about them? What about the Muslims? 1.3, 1.5 billion of population. How many of them heard about Jesus Christ in a biblical way? How many of them had the chance to make the choice saying, I would like to follow Jesus or I would like to follow Muhammad?
they never had much choice. They was taught just one way, one person, you trust in Muhammad. And they have no understanding about the Jesus in the Bible. They have no understanding. So for this reason, you know, the calling come back and come back. And the church gave me a 6-month sabbatical 2 years ago. Wow. And I wrote a training manual, a book on how to reach a Muslim. Even before the book published, the training start. I'm not expert, but you see, among the Chinese there are so few. Even you know something, you become expert. I don't know a lot. But they say you did plant a church among the Muslims. Yes, I do. But that's by God's grace, not because of me. I don't understand. But the calling come back to me. How this guidance and the vision and confirm that God has called Paul to preach the gospel to those people. I was working on the schedule this October, and Emily was sitting there when I was talking to them on the Skype 2 days ago. Emily said that that's too much. I never preached in any church in Taiwan, never. I visited Taiwan in 1990 once, that's 33 years ago. I never know anybody besides a few people from Malaysia. They were studying there and now they are working there. And in the Skype, I talked with one of the brothers that he kind of coordinated. He asked me one question. He said, why those Bible seminary invite you to speak? Do you know someone important in there? I said, no. He said, one of the Bible seminary never invite outsider unless you are very special. That made me a little bit uneasy, because why they invite me? And not only chapel, but plus another 1 hour. I was very nervous. Reformed Bible Theological School invite me, Baptist Bible Seminary School invite me, One Mission School invite me, and this Hermes Seminary invite me. What I can say is, they may not know me, but they know that we need to get ready and reach the Muslim. And where can we find the Chinese people with some experience or some background reaching out to the Muslim? Let invite this person to come, whatever, you know, whatever he can say, and probably we can learn something. I have no idea. I have to decline them, saying that don't arrange anything on the October the 10th, because it's their national day. I said, don't arrange anything for that day. And they reluctantly agree. Every day we have meeting. What I'm saying here is, a lot of people are crying out saying that the Muslims need the Lord. But we Chinese churches, we don't know how to reach out to them. Can someone come and help? So brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, which I told the board last Saturday, that Emily and I, we are leaving. We need to obey the Lord. Because when I'm pastoring a church, I can't do it. I can't just go around and visit different places. Often, there's no fair for the church. You may ask me, are you resigning? I prefer Acts chapter 13 saying that the church sent us out. I don't prefer saying that I'm resigning. But you say, well, it's a different. Yeah, there is a different there. So, the board, in a way, not officially, saying that, Pastor Wong, we support you. We are going to send you out. And then I hope that our church here
the English congregation, the Chinese congregation, children or whatever, you know, saying that God is calling you, we are behind you. So you may say, okay, when are you leaving? Not tomorrow. Okay. I will be here all the way to December. Then we hope that we can start our new ministry next year, January. When you say January, that's still pending, because with SIM, the mission organization, like most of the mission organization, we need to raise our own support. So if the support is not 100%, then the mission said that you cannot come as an active missionary. So I don't know. But I need time to share, to talk with different churches, friends, and hopefully our support will come in. So please pray for Emily and I. I'll be here for a few more months. But the good news is I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here in my own house here. Because I just felt like we didn't spend enough time with our children. If we move again, our children may not feel like where we are staying is home, because there is no friend nearby. I would like to provide our children a place that they can come back and they can reconnect with new people and just feel like, you know, yeah, the ministry changed, but something is not, you know, is not totally changed. That will help them. You know, in saying so, I just like to thank, you know, all of you and our children also. Basically, our three children never complained. So Ruth went back to Nigeria as missionary. David went back there, not as a missionary, but also tried to serve the people there. And Job, not sure where he is now, Puerto Rico, maybe. Yeah, he never actually gave us a detailed thing. He just said, okay, I'm leaving. For where? For how long? Okay, coming back. But not really sure which day. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Yeah, but he is serving the church in Atlanta. So just saying that when we commit ourselves to follow the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, He takes care of all the details. We don't need to worry a lot. So praise the Lord. And then this is the sharing from me this morning. And then I really encourage brother and sister, you know, to remember us in your prayer. Okay? So, Pastor Tom.